Be'ez Hashem Yisbo'ch, we begin Perek Asi, the 10th and final chapter in the Rambam Sichas Kalayim, the Laws of Forbidden Mixtures in the Sefer Zeroyim, where we continue on to the next category of Kalayim, which I spoke about, that of the primary which brought into Sefer Zeroyim, that of mixing the Zeroyim and the Kerim, and then we spoke about that of the hybrid of the animals, and now we're speaking about that of fabric that we know as Shatnez, the Forbidden Mixtures of Garments. As Rambam begins in Halacha Aleph, qualifying what is the Isser of Kalayim as it relates to garments, is with wool and linen together. It says the Rambam, Ein Isser Bekili Begodin, there's no prohibition about the forbidden mixtures of garments, El Etemer Pishn Mavad, the problem is only with wool and linen. Shnemak says in the Pasuk in Devarim, Loi Silba Shatnes, one should not wear Shatnes, Temer Pishn Miyachtav, which is wool and linen together. Now, the Yesh Bekarach Hayam, they are by the maritime cities, which are by the water, there's like a woolly substance that grows on the stones in the salty sea, which actually his idea is, it doesn't mean the Yam HaMelech, it means to the Mediterranean, the Yam HaGadol, which the water is salty. Its form is like that of gold. It's very soft. Its name is Kalach. That's also forbidden to be mixed with linen. And the reason is when they marry iron because of the appearance of wrongdoing. Because it's similar, it appears like the wool of lambs, and the chain hashiram v'hakolach asurin. So too is silk, and this kolach, like we said, is going to be forbidden. They marry iron. It's even a problem with silk because one of them, the silk, seems like linen, and the other one, kolach, which is dry, is similar to the hair of the animal of wool. So even though both those are not wool or linen, but the silk with the kalach is similar to wool and linen, and therefore that would also be problematic, again, because of Maris Ayin, that it appears like wrongdoing. Halacha Beis, Rachel, a ewe, the female sheep, Bas Eiz, that's the daughter of a goat, Samra Ein Loken Lo Mishum Klayim. Its wool is not prohibited because of that of Kalayim, because it has to be a pure breed. But also, of course, it's going to be rabbinically forbidden because of the appearance of wrongdoing, because it does look like the regular wool from an animal, and therefore, at least, it's rabbinically forbidden. Now, as some actually have halacha based starting over here, but the Rambam qualifies now that all types of connections are forbidden for the halacha of shatnez. Once the wool becomes connected with the linen, however it's connected, that's going to be biblical kalayim, ketzer, how so? If you have wool and linen that was mixed together, and then it was smoothed out with a comb, and was made into felt, that's a prohibition of kalayim. Let's say they were mixed together, but tabayisim ke'echad, and they were spun together. The arag bagged mitvizeh, and then one wove a garment from this thread. Or is it kalayim? Again, that's going to be a problem by kalayim. Halacha gimel. Tafer bagged semesh bishal pishton. If someone stitched, it was a woolen garment, but someone stitched it together with linen. Vafilt from a mesh, and even if someone stitched it with silk, oi, or shatafar, which we had mentioned before that. The silk regarding its element. If someone went and stitched together a woolen garment with linen threads, or a linen garment with woolen threads, or even if someone just tied the threads of wool with the threads of linen, or braided them together. And a filin nusin semer pishnim besaka bekubo karachme. Even if someone just put woolen linen in a sack or in a basket and he wrapped them around, I really claim, again, all types of connections are going to be forbidden as klein. The filin kosher godl shal semer begodl shal pishnim. Even if someone went and tied together a braid of wool with a braid of linen, ava pishur to even though the strap, which is of leather, is beemt in the middle, and they have these on either sides. And even if one just folded over the garments of wool with linen and they tied it together, they're all going to be forbidden as klaim, like it says in the Pasuk, tzemer pishon yachtem, woolen together, which is whatever the connection is, once it becomes unified, it's going to be forbidden And as we said, that would apply also to other elements that also have the appearance of wool and linen. It's even just putting them together. Now, halacha dal, minayin shekol yisurin ele shel Torah. How do we know that all these types of connection, where you braid it or you tie it, all these things are going to be biblically forbidden? Because it says the Rambam, the Torah required you to permit kalayim by tzitzis. Which, what's the problem? Well, you have you have wool and linen. Where do you have that? You have it by the tzitzis strings, which have the tchelis, which is the wool with the linen. Like they learned out from the tradition. Didn't have to say the parsha of kalayim near the parsha of tzitzis, where it says in the pasuk. And then it says, Gedilim Taslach, talking about making tzitzis. So why do you have klaim near tzitzis? Elahati klaim by tzitzis. It's just to permit the issue of klaim, it's not a problem by tzitzis. Now, vatzitzis chutin kashurim bilvadhin. What are tzitzis? They're just tied with the garment. Ah, machlal shachibur kezeh, shalei b'makom mitzvah. Obviously, the inference is there's such a connection. If it's not in a makom mitzvah of making tzitzis, asamatar would be biblically prohibited. The Torah is not coming to exclude something that's only rabbinically prohibited. The Torah is biblical, it does not talk about rabbinic law. Obviously, it's biblically prohibited, even if it's just tied together. Like we said, any type of connection is going to make it into a biblical iser of klaim. Now, Halacha Hei, the Rambam continues regarding what type of mixtures are a problem regarding klaim. Ha-klaim in le-shir, the klaim does not have a measurement. Afil chut kolshu shel tzemer, even a small thread of wool. The beged goes shel pishtim in a large garment of linen. Or shel pishtim tzemer, or the opposite, a small thread of linen in a woolen garment. Aser is going to be forbidden. Now alach avav tzemer chelim, the wool of sheep. The tzemer gemalim and the wool of camel wool, the kaitzba or things similar like that, like rabbit wool. Let's say they were mixed together, and then they spun a thread out of them. So it depends. If at least half it was from the sheep's wool, then it's all qualified as sheep's wool. Therefore, that would be a problem of forbidden mixture with linen. But if the majority of that thread was from camel wool, that's permitted to mix with linen. They should because the form of that whole thread is qualified by the majority as a form of camel wool. And the ein chayshin lenimah shel tzemah hamorevis, but we're not concerned for the hairs of the wool from the sheep that's mixed in with them. Because it's not woolen threads, and therefore it's not qualified as an entity to make it prohibited. Halacha zayin lefikach therefore iris hakvasim shel eisin b'hem begadim. So when they make leather from the lambs, which take the skins, and they make garments out of them, even if you stitch them with linen, return, that's permitted. Now, because of ein chayshin lenimah shel tzemah, not concerned with the small little hairs of the wool, that av bishin nechruchu bechlal chut ha-pishin shetavar, but although they get mixed in and wrapped in with the linen threads that you're stitching with, because like we said, because they're nullified in their minority, because you don't even have a thread that it's, yeah, even if it's one thread, it's going to make a problem, but you don't even have one thread. That's not a thread, that's just the hairs, and therefore that is not considered something to make a prohibition of klaim. Halacha ches, v'chein ha-kambas, v'apishtun shetraf and zebezeh, so to hemp and linen that were mixed one with the other. Im reib min ha-kambas, if the majority is from hemp, mutaler ha-tvim mehem, m'chotei tzemer, then you're allowed to weave together that thread with woolen threads. Because again, you qualified as hemp. But m'hoya mechtel mechtel, if it's at least half of that of the linen, then it would be prohibited to mix with wool, then it would be aser, it would be forbidden. Halacha tes, so it's a beged kuli tzemer gemalim. Someone makes a garment that's totally from camel's wool, tzemer novim or rabbit wool, like canvas or from hemp. The orig by chutzal tzemer mitzadze. Even if one just weaves in a thread of wool on one side, the chutzal pishim mitzadze, and a thread of linen on the other side, or is awesome mishum klum. This can be forbidden at a climb, as we said in halacha gimel. Even if you have the strip of linen of leather in the middle, you can't have wool and linen in the same garment. Halacha yud. Now, however, beged tzemer shenifram. If you have a woolen garment that tore, muta lifrefaisa, you see a lot of going connected, b'chute pishdon, with linen threads, b'kosher and to tie, because since you could remove the two ends of the tear without undoing the knot, so that's not considered as attached, ablitpa, but you're not allowed to sew, because that, again, would be problematic, of course, to stitch the linen threads in the woolen garment. Now, in halacha yud, the Rambam qualifies this prohibition of klaim in regards to how one actually activates that iser of wearing klaim. So, leivish adam bigdei tzemer bigdei pishtan. a person is permitted to wear woolen garments and linen garments, which are different garments, and he could even girdle himself, belt himself from the outside, and that's not a problem of klayim. As long as he doesn't go ahead and wrap the cords and tie them between his shoulders, meaning in a way that he's not able to take off each one by one, only after he takes off the knot, because that actually would be qualified as mixing the wool and the linen together. Halachid beis, klei begodim, mutal asisim l'machrim. The forbidden mixture of wool and linen garments, one is permitted to make it and to sell them. Vein aser ela l'lavsh m'lavad. The whole isab klem is only to wear it or to cover oneself with it. Shalom, like it says in the pasuk, lo yisil b'shatnes. One shouldn't wear shatnes in the varm chabez. V'nemel, like it says, v'yikri yitez, lo yala lecha, shouldn't go on you. Now, haliyashi derech levishas, so it's only the going over a person, the covering itself, that's a form of wearing. But going it over one person is not a way of wearing it. It could go in oil, shul klayim. For example, let's say it's going over you like a canopy, which that's klayim. The person is permitted to sit beneath it. So it is permitted biblically to sit on bedcloths, on mattresses of klayim, like it says in the pasuk, lo yala lecha. Now I'll put it over you, but you're allowed to put it beneath you. Now, here the Rambam continues regarding the wearing that doesn't have any benefit. But rabbinically, even if there's 10 bedspreads, one on top of the other, but the bottom one has klayim, it's forbidden to one to sit on the upper one. Because maybe one of the strands is going to wrap over his flesh, which has klayim, and it's going to have benefit. So therefore, rabbinically, it is forbidden, because it will be aliyah and not tachtecha. Now, look at Gimel B'medrim, when we say this, barakin, when they're soft, kugan yudias, or smallest, when we're talking about curtains and sheets, and that's the type of bedspreads that we said that would be forbidden. Abakashim, but when they're firm and hard, she'in nechrachim, which dad cannot wrap around, kugan karm, exhaustless, like pillows and cushions, mutalesha, b'loss of a land, then the person is permitted to sit and to recline in them. But v'hush, liyib, asarin, they gave him, as long as his flesh is not touching them, and thus having benefit that way. Halachi dad, b'chinam perechim, so too, a curtain sheet kalayim, which is forbidden mixture. If it was soft, asur, then forbidden. Maybe the attendant, the waiter, is going to go ahead and lean on it. V'tal al-basar, it's going to go on his flesh. But if it's hard and it cannot wrap around, then mutaris, then it's going to be permitted. A shoe that's made out of klayim, but doesn't have a heel. Mutar loves a person a lot of weird. Sh'oregel kosher, because the skin on the bottom of one's foot is hard. And again, that part of the body doesn't have benefit like the skin of the rest of the body. So since not having benefit, that wouldn't be a problem of the bottom of the foot having benefit from the klayim. Halacha dezayin, tofik sus. Those who stitch garments which have klayim inside of them, tofik gedarkim, they could stitch in a normal way, meaning he's allowed to put the garments on his lap when he's stitching it, as long as they're not intending, b'chamim ne'chamim, in the summertime to protect themselves from the sun, and the winter from the cold elements, where that could give them the benefit. But as long as Dabashin Miskavin, it's not intended, it's going to be mutter. And Bahatsnuin, Tefin Ba'aretz. But the discreet and the scrupulous ones, they stitch it on the ground, not to have any type of concern for having benefit from the client. And Vachain Mechik Sus, so to those who sell garments, Mechik Gedarkim, they could sell in a normal way. The garments that have klayim, where they put on their shoulders to show buyers, again, as long as they're not intending for regarding the summer, so that the klayim that they're having on their shoulders should protect them from the sun, and neither should they have in mind in the winter time to warm themselves up from the cold. But here too, the discreet ones, they go ahead and they actually take a stick and put on the back of the stick behind them so that it shouldn't go on their body and enter into this prohibition at all. Halachi Zayin, similarly, a person shouldn't take an egg when it's hot in a klayim, in a shatnez garment, because he's benefiting from the klayim because of the heat, where it's preventing him from getting burnt from the egg, and that's what he's intending to do, or because of the cold, where the garment goes and gets heated up from the egg, which is thus heating up his hands. And here too, where the person's having that intention, anything like that, again, would be a prohibition of using that garment, because then he's having benefit from that client. Halacha Yudches, lo yilbash odem kalayim arayim, specifically about wearing. A person shouldn't wear kalayim even in a temporary fashion. Even if it's on top of 10 garments, it's not really giving him any benefit, but he's wearing the klayim. And even if he's just doing this to deceive regarding the tariffs of the taxes, because they wouldn't charge for garments that you're wearing, only that you're carrying along, so that's why he's wearing it. And if he does wear like that, look, he's going to get lashes because he violated leisul b'shatnas. Halachi test, the Ram explains regarding the garments that warm up a person, that is what the garment functions, and that's what was forbidden. As Rambam says, "Ein osam mishum kalayim." There's no prohibition of kalayim. El begadim shem derechim. Only garments which that's in the way of warming oneself up. Kugan, for example. In other words, that's what a lavush is. Haksainis, the shirt, v'mitznefes, and the hat, v'machnasayim, and the pants, v'amnet, and the belt, v'simla, and the dress. Begadim shem mechabim es hashakayim, and the garments that cover one's thighs, v'si yadayim, one's hands. Okay, some things like that. But small belts, but they say, the people make in their pockets, why do they make it there? Not to warm themselves up. To tie up their money, or spices, or smartit, or a kerchief. That they put on it, which these are all different types of medicine that they put on this bandage. Things like that. Those are permitted of klayim. Even if his flesh is touching them, it's not the way of warming oneself up. It's not the function of this garment, and therefore it's not the issa of klayim. Halacha chav, tzitz shal oyer oy meshi ukeitzben. Someone has a plate that goes on his forehead, a headband of leather or silk or things like that. Shadol ben chuti tzemer v'chuti pishtin b'duldon b'nei adam, and it's hanging from it threads of wool and of linen on the face of a person. And why does he have it? So that it could chase away the flies. No problem with klayim. Again, because those elements are not there to warm himself up, and therefore it's not in the iser of wearing klayim. If someone's leading animals, and he puts the strings, the ropes into his hand, and now some of the ropes are made out of wool, some are made out of linen. How is it that's permitted? Even though he's wrapping it around his hand. But if he ties them together, now they become klayim, and therefore he's not allowed to wrap that around his hand. Regarding the towels that a person wipes his hands with. And the towels that they use to wipe down the vessels and the ground. And some have the gear mitpacha sevetorah and the mantle of the sevetorah, mitpacha svarim, which either is the gear svarim, which is that of the covers of the svarim, or it's saparim, which is that of the barbers. Asur mishum klayim, these have forbidden for klayim, shari yidayim noigiz ben, because the hands, they touch them, v'nekrachim alayad tamim m'schamim, and they wrap around the hand of a person, and they warm himself up, and therefore they're forbidden because of klayim. Lach of gimel. Oysus sho'isin ha'kivsin ha'gardim ha'begodim. The signs, the tickets, that the launderers or the tailors that they make in the garments, that each one should recognize which is his. If that ticket was with wool and linen, or linen and wool, that's forbidden. And it's not significant to him. Ultimately, it's wearing that klayim, that shatnas. Halach avdal, beged semer, a woolen garment, shechibri and beged pishnan, that one connected with a linen garment, but kifachas, with one thrust of the needle. So that's not considered as a connection, because it's not going to last, because the moment the person uses it, is going to get undone. And therefore, it's not considered a klayim. But kavet shnei rosh ha'chut kechabel, let's say he gathers the two ends of the thread as one and he ties it together. Or he puts it through the needle two times, or he's a klayim, that's going to be klayim, and it's going to be asur. Lel chafed, the Rambam tells us regarding what is permitted for the utility of klayim. Mutal asur min ha'klayim techrich lemes. A person allowed to make from klayim burial shrouds for a dead person. Why? Shein ol mesa mitzvah, because dead people don't have to fulfill the mitzvahs, and therefore they can have klayim. And so to belasim minim ardas, like a person can make a saddlecloth for a donkey, the yoshev and they could sit on it, because it's hard, and as we said in Halacha Gimel, if something is hard, you're allowed to sit on it. But that is shalayi besar negeba, as long as his flesh doesn't touch it, which also, like we said over there, regarding the pillows and the cushions. And v'lo yinich mardas zu al kasev, he's not put the saddlecloth on his shoulder, because like we said, anytime you're putting it on top of you, that's forbidden. Even if you're just doing it to take out the garbage, that's going to be forbidden. Halacha vav, hameisva behema shoyil mubashin klayim. If you have a dead person or an animal that were wearing a forbidden mixture of klayim, Mutul nasan ksevi, you're allowed to carry the dead person or the animal on his shoulder, because his intention is not to have any benefit from it, so therefore that's like selling the garments, which we said in Halacha Zayin, that you're allowed to do that, so too over here. Now, in Halacha Zayin, the Rambam discusses when there's a suffix of klaim. Beged Semer, if there's a woolen garment, Sh'ovet b'chut shel pishn, where we know there's somewhere put in a linen thread, even just one, but it's lost in over there. Oy beged pishn sh'ovet b'chut shel tzemer, the other way, if it's a linen garment that's inside somewhere is a woolen thread, Harizalim Karin Lagai, one's not allowed to sell this garment to a Gentile, Shemim Karin Lagali Yisrael, because the Gentile might sell it to a Jew, and the Jew's not going to be any the wiser, because you can't tell that there's a forbidden mixture over here. So to Valay Sinemar Das Lachamayin, I'll make a saddle cloth for a donkey, Shemim Tza Oise Achar, maybe someone else is going to find it, Vikrienam Alamar Das, and he's going to tear it off from the saddle cloth, Vilbashena, and he'll use it as a cloth to wear. And Shari in the Klaim Nikrabe, because since the Klaim is not recognizable, therefore one is going to cause someone to stumble in this of Klaim. So the case of the Khan is big, so how does one go ahead and correct this garment? So what he does is tzeiva, he dyes it, he colors it. Because wool and linen, when they get dyed, they don't look the same. And right away he could tell the difference between the fabrics, and he could remove that odd thread out. And if you don't recognize any difference when you dyed it, well, how is it then can be permitted? Because we could suspect that thread fell out already, because you did the test of the dyes, and you didn't find any difference. As Rambam explains, we already explained the laws of forbidden bios, of cohabitations, in Perket Ches Halacha Yedzayin, anytime there's a prohibition of something that's a situation of doubt, is Medivir Seifim. That's only rabbinically. That's why they were leaning regarding the laws of doubt, because since it's only rabbinic prohibition, and regarding Sabek Drabanan, we go Lekula, we go Lin Lin. Someone purchases a woolen garment from a Gentile. You have to check it out very well. Shatness testing. Because it might be stitched with linen, and even one thread would make it into klaim. Ram tells us regarding the obligation to be very careful regarding this halachas of shatness. Someone sees his friend wearing something that's biblically prohibited as klaim. Give the person walking the street. The guy jumps on him and tears it off of him immediately. And even if it's his teacher who taught him wisdom, why? Because the dignity of a person, which obviously to have his clothing torn off from him is embarrassing, does not push away a biblical negative prohibition that's explicit in the Torah. Now, if that's the case, says the Rambam, why do we find by the laws of Hashav HaZavid returning laws to object Torah tells Leisucha Lesalim, you now turn a blind eye? That's regarding when it says, sometimes it says Vesalamta, that you actually will turn a blind eye, which is by an elder that's not appropriate for him to go beneath the dignity and start returning some bull that was found on the street. So you see that the negative prohibition of not to turn the blind eye is overridden for the covered abris of that person, the respected individual who does not have to do Hashav HaZavid. Says the Ram, they should love Shalom, because that's a negative prohibition regarding monetary things, which a person could be meichel, and therefore it's not really so much like overriding the law. And says the Ram, why do we find that when a kayin can make himself tamei for a mess mitzvah, where we see that because of covered abuse of the dead person, we override the negative prohibition of a kayin becoming tamei? Oh, that's different, says the Ram, hoyle part akasik, because the pasuk already specified in Bamidbar Bav, v'lachosek, when it talks about all the relatives that can make himself tamei, they were really unnecessary because already said, why does it specify each one? So each one has a reason when it says for his sister, and Piashmu Lamdu, from the tradition that they learned, yeah, La Chaisa in the Matam. We're telling you that the Kohen Gadol cannot be Matame to his sister, Al Matam al Mes Mitzvah, but he could go ahead and make himself Tame to a Mes Mitzvah. That's therefore the Torah is telling us explicitly with it. Abadavish. So therefore, that's where we find that regarding a biblical violation, one will say that Kavod HaBris is not going to override. There, these two cases we brought, there's either because of Davish Shalom or because the Torah specified. Abu Davish, assuming the Rambam, but says the Rambam, it's something that's only rabbinically forbidden. That's something that is overridden because of Kavod HaBris in all situations. As the Rambam explains, he says, although it says in the Torah, one should not remove himself from this thing, which is actually the biblical source for following the teachings of the rabbis. So the Ram Hari loves the Nitcham Nei Kavod HaBris. This negative prohibition is overridden because of Kavod HaBris. So the figure there from Hoyel of Shatnes Shal Debrim, therefore if someone's wearing rabbinic Shatnes, in a Karla B'Shuk, one does not tear it off from him in the street, in the Peshta B'Shuk, Asher Megillah B'Shuk, the person does not take it off from himself until he reaches his house. But if it's again a biblical claim, then he has to take it off right away. Halacha Lam Deram continues regarding the halachas of malchus, of lashes, for wearing the forbidden mixtures of klayim. Halavish klayim, if someone wears klayim, or again, if he just covers himself with klayim, so like he gets biblical lashes because of leisilbash. Hayalavish beklayim klayim kulei, let's say he's wearing klayim the whole entire day, in a lekalachas, only gets one set of lashes. Now, but let's say hoitzi reishim nabeged vechzir, let's say he just takes even just his head out from the garment, and he puts it back in. He takes his head out and puts it back in. Though he never even took off the whole garment at one time. So in other words, what this is addressing is that even though regarding delaying the amount of time to take it off and put it back on, that we say that you're only liable if it, the amount of time it takes to off the whole garment and then put it back on, that's only regarding delaying, but not when you actually did an action. If you actually did an action, took out your head, in reality, then you mechayiv even if you didn't take up the whole thing. And that's what the Rambam is saying. You're liable each and every one. Each one is a separate act of levisha because you took out your head and you put it back in. Now, when we say shuchayiv achas kol hayom, they only be liable for one liability for the whole entire day, is kishisr b'hasra achas, when they only won the one time. But let's say they won and they told him. And this is in contrast, even if he didn't take out his head. They said, pshay, pshay, take it off, take it off. But lavish b'ayin, they kept on wearing it. To show could they live shibalubish achash boy, and he delayed the amount of time that he could take it up and put it back on. After they warned him, each and every time that he kept that he maintained it, that he kept it on, that they warned him. Even though he didn't take it off, that's what the Rambam is differentiating between actually taking it off or just waiting enough of the time taking it off. That you could be liable each and every one if they kept on warning him, but regarding actually taking on taking off, that each one is a separate issa. Halach lamed alf. Hamabish is chaber klaim. If someone clothes his friend with klaim, so imhoya alevish mezid, if the one who was wearing it was doing it deliberately, so halevish leika. So the one who's wearing it is going to get lashes because he should have taken it right away. And like we said before, just even maintaining it is considered like wearing it, even though he didn't even do an action, so that he gets lashes, like we said in the previous halacha. Moreover, he's also assisting the one who's clothing him, where he's preparing himself that to be clothed, and therefore that's like doing an action. Now, since the one who's wearing it is getting that iser, so the one who actually helped him get dressed with it violates the prohibition that says in front of a blind person shouldn't put a stumbling block, which is causing someone to sin. Now, but let's say the one who's wearing it didn't know that this is a prohibition of klayim, but the one who's putting it on him, he was deliberate, he knew that it's klayim. So then hamalbish, like then who's clothing him with it, gets lashes, because we read loy silbash as loy salbish. Not to wear, but not to cause someone to wear. And therefore, he's actually going to get the lashes of Lay Silbash. But Levish Pazar, and the one who's wearing, is going to be exempt again because he was unaware that it had claim. Halacha Lamed Beis, the last halacha, the Ram qualifies as it applies to Kahanim. Kahanim Shalav Shubig the Kahuna Shlebish as Avaid, the Kahan that wore the garments of the Kahuna, not at the time of doing the service. I feel like Mikdash, even in the base of Mikdash, like they're going to get lashes, and they have an Nate claim because the belt was a mixture of wool linen. Because it only was permitted for them only at the time of the service, she mitzis asei, but tzitzis, or the gear says kitzitzis, which are positive commandments, just like we find by tzitzis, that one is allowed to wear the klayim only because it's a mitzvah. When it's not a mitzvah, then it's going to be prohibited, and therefore the kahanim, although they're allowed to wear klayim, is only during the time of the avodah. Slik lo hilchas klayim siyat shema, we have concluded the halachas of the forbidden mixtures with siyat deshmaya.